We headed to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
We are back, as promised, talking some Penn State basketball. I'm Dustin Hockensmith. Jeff Brown joins us now to talk some Penn State hoops. How you doing this morning, Greg? Jeff, I said Greg.
I am cold. How are you?
Same. It's cold in more ways than one when we're talking about Penn State basketball, I guess.
It's going to be like a broken record. I'm telling you, it's the whole inconsistency thing. And when one thing is good, the other is bad. It's what we've been talking about all season.
Yeah, when are they going to consistently find the things that they're looking for? I wanted to lead with this, though, because it commands to be led with. So 0-8 in the Big Ten after they lose 65-64 to Minnesota on the road. Patrick Chambers said they might be the best 0-8 team in the country. Are you buying that that 0-8 can be the best anything?
Well, you know what? As long as he says they're the best 0-8 team, I agree with him. I truly do. And it's what we've been talking about. The talent is there. They just can't put it together. So, yeah, I completely believe that they're the most talented and the best 0-8 team in America. And if they would put it all together one night, I think it would be a sight to behold, and I'm hoping they do it a few times before the end of the season.
We haven't had a complete game is the way that that quote starts. And I think that's fair to say. I think we're the best 0-8 team in the country. I really do. We're in every game. I love my guys. They competed. They really tried, and we'll get better. There's a lot of different little themes in there. Incomplete. In every game, he loves his guys. They compete. They try. They'll get better. So I guess the question is will they get better? When will they get better? Will they get better to the point where, you know, the best anything has to have this asterisk to it?
Well, you know, I have been reading a lot about people wanting Patrick's head. And I understand where they're coming from, but I approach it from a second point of view. It's much like the Saints yesterday. You know, the Saints, everybody's saying they got screwed out of a trip to the Super Bowl, but I will tell you, when you get 6 points at the beginning of the game when you could easily have had 14 points, well, maybe you did it to yourself. And I'm kind of looking at that way. Patrick was not out there at the foul line, and he was not shooting the foul shots, and he was not missing the foul shots. And, you know, I'm sure that there's lots of different factors that go involved and everything else, but, you know, calling for his head right now, I just think is a little premature. It's not a lot premature.
Not a lot. You say it's not a lot premature. It's a little premature. And, you know, you recall where they were at, not this time last year, but early last year, where people were calling for his head then as well.
Exactly.
And you saw what happened down the stretch. I think at the very, very least, you have earned the right to see what can come of the second half of the season, what kind of improvements can be made. Because if you get hot and you find a rhythm, who knows?
Yeah, I think they're pretty much done as far as the big dance is concerned, but
sure. They
could easily get into the NIT with a hot second half. And then once you get in there, well, your record is 0-0 and everything goes from there. So, no, I'm not down on this team. No, I'm not down on Patrick Chambers. Disappointed, but you know what? I'll bet every single guy on that team and every coach along with Patrick Chambers is disappointed at this point.
So let's talk about that Minnesota game. They're up, what, 41-30 in the second half early. They're up 44-34 in the second half. Some cold shooting, and then the free throws. What is the explanation for the free throws? That is an execution thing, as you mentioned, but also could there be something, and I'm not sure if Patrick Chambers got into this, where they need to adjust what they're doing at practice or what have you?
Yeah, you know, I'm not sure. I don't get the chance to go to the practices, so I don't know what goes on there. But it's been an age-old problem, even predating Patrick Chambers. I mean, Penn State has been notorious of going long periods of time without scoring any points, and I don't know what the heck it is. I don't want to say it's a curse or whatever, but it happened with Ed DeGelis' teams. It happened with teams before that as well. They just go into these slumps and it just kills them. And I wish I knew, because if I knew, I'd tell Patrick. But, you know, I think Patrick is probably just beating the heck out of the tape machine trying to find, some kind of ways or some kind of explanation for it. And as far as the foul shots are concerned, it's a mystery. I don't know, but they just, the games they could have won this year had they been able to make some foul shots in crucial situations, or had they been able to drop a bucket or two in crucial situations, we could be talking a completely different situation now for men's basketball if some of those things had happened.
Well, and here's what I think a lot of people are asking. So I'll ask you, is it better or worse that Penn State is in so many games, has a path to victory, but can't find a way to get to the finish line? It means you're competitive, but I think the cynics in all of us, which they're all coming out for Penn State now, would call this kind of thing a pattern. And I guess my question is, how do you break out of that pattern?
And that's a tough question. It truly is. For me, I would much rather than be competitive in every game. If you're going to lose a game, lose it tight. I hate blowouts, and it just, nothing puts me in a more foul mood than, one of my favorite teams, regardless of the sport, getting blown out. I just don't like it. So I like that they're competitive. I wonder, what would Tony Carr make? What difference would he make had he still been with the team? How many wins would he account for? I don't know. But we got to remember that Penn State, as we're always talking about, it seems, is a young team, and they need to get to be an old team, as Steve Jones has said a time or two on the air. You want to be an old team, and they're not. So, to answer the first question, I'd rather see them be competitive every night, and I want to see them be competitive the rest of the way. And who knows? They may go on a run. And, this still may be a fun season to go out and watch basketball, and I hope people will continue to go out to the Jordan Center and do that, because, the crowd was down last time that they were home at the Jordan Center. And come out and watch some fun basketball. Now, are they going to get to the big dance? No, they're not going to get to the big dance this year. But can they still play competitively and still play some good basketball? Absolutely. So that's what I want, is I want fun, watchable basketball. There was a kid that wrote for the Collegian who said that their game has become unwatchable. And I couldn't disagree more. And in fact, I even posted something on social media, after the last home game, the Iowa game. Are you telling me that game was unwatchable? It was completely watchable. It was a great basketball game. Penn State didn't come out on top. And, the basketball game against Minnesota, that was a typical Minnesota grind-em-out Big Ten basketball game. Still watchable. And that's what I want, is I want watchable basketball games that I can at least walk away and say, hey, 27 points from Lamar Stevens, that was great. Hey, Josh Reeves, once again, comes up big as far as assists and steals and things like that go. So there are things that you can watch and, tournaments that you can hope for at the end of the year.
We're talking to Jeff Brown about Penn State basketball, one of the most listenable interviews you will ever listen to. Keep borrowing your language there. You bring up an interesting point, and we probably haven't really revisited the Tony Carr thing enough, because it hits a couple different points. Number one, I think last year you had the sense, and certainly now hindsight's 2020, you see it, but how fragile – Penn State, like there are programs that can absorb an early NBA mm-hmm. draft entry and move on. Penn State at this juncture wasn't really in a good position to be able to do that. And, the point number two is you can't really get anywhere with only one consistent scorer. And exactly. One of the problems that Tony Carr would have solved, obviously experience, but to have that 1-2 punch instead of constantly searching for and not knowing who's going to be the guy this game, this week, tonight, whatever, who can complement what Lamar Stevens does. They haven't found that answer yet.
And think about that. You've got Tony Carr and Lamar Stevens consistently scoring. That creates problems, but you've got Mike Watkins, who is capable of going off at any time. You've got Miles Dredd, who is capable of going off at any time. You've got Rajir Bolton, who can fill up the hoop. So, all of a sudden, it's a completely different team that you've got to defense instead of what we have now, which is, you know, let's blanket Lamar and make everybody else beat us.
And you see this in football. You know, we talked about it in the context of Penn State's football team this year, where you lose one guy out of the depth chart. Now suddenly it's not just about replacing that one spot. It's a matter of everybody playing a role above where they probably exactly. should play. And when it comes to, you know, particularly the pecking order in the scoring department, everybody's needing to play up a role where they should be playing. None of those freshmen should be considered a number two scorer at any point. Mike exactly. Watkins shouldn't be considered a number two scorer at any point. They don't really have one, and they're just looking for one of those guys to emerge. And frankly, what we've seen so far is it's just not that simple.
That's true. And it's got to be tough to coach that way when you've got one guy who you know can score. And then, I mean, heaven forbid, look at Iowa. You know, the Iowa game, Lamar scores, what, 8 points or something like that? He scores 8 more points, and they win the game. You know, it's that simple. But he had a down night, and once he had a down night, what are you going to do? That puts yourself in such a precarious position as a basketball team. If your leading scorer has a down night, and every leading scorer is going to have a down night sometime, somewhere during the season, how do you pick that back up? And it's up to these guys to do it. And I couldn't agree with you more. You shouldn't be asking freshmen to be the one to step up and help. And that's, you know, I go back to Steve Jones keeps pounding the whole, you know, got to be an old team. You've got to have some older players who can step into the breach and fill up the bucket when you need them to.
I got about a minute here. I want to look ahead a little bit because it's an interesting time in the Big Ten. So they have a week between games. There's also in the Big Ten no such thing as a easy stretch by any means. But if you're going to circle a 3-game stretch on your calendar, this might be the one. So you get Rutgers at home on the 26th. You get Purdue at home on the 31st. And then on the road at Northwestern on the 4th. Given the 7 days, given, you know, the especially the two of those games being at home, is this really kind of make or break time?
Oh, it absolutely is. I think if you're going to get some wins, this is the time to do it. This is the time to get on the horse and start. And if you don't, well, then you got problems the rest of the season, unfortunately. But this is the time that they could get on a roll. They could get some wins underneath them, maybe get themselves a little bit of confidence. And well, let's just go back to this week. Give those freshmen a break. You know, this whole week, just give them a break, get their legs back underneath them again, and then see what happens.
There you go. Jeff Brown talking Penn State hoops here on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Thank you, Jeff.
You are welcome. See you next week.
All right. See you next time. And see you all next time on the Keystone Sports Network. Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right. Go PSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to gopsurv.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
409 Tailgate Club proudly introduces our tailgate wines. Like our great sauces and rubs, you'll enjoy our wines at your next cookout, tailgate, or even as a great gift for that fan of the blue and white. Speaking of blue and white, you've got to try our award-winning Sapphire Blue, made from pure blueberry juice. Or how about our Old Main Pinot Grigio and 1855 Vidal? Go to tailgatewine.com and find all our PA preferred wines. That's tailgatewine.com.